Would you like to take out your Bibles? We're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17 this morning. As you do that, I will just pray. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing already today. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to open up your word. God, may we be a people who don't just hear your word, but may we hear and do. Be doers of your word, Lord God. And let your word just settle upon our hearts this morning, I pray. Give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, Lord, and may we not leave this place the same as we came in this morning. I pray for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 17 is where we are heading. So here we are at the start of 2025. Who can believe it? A quarter of the way through the century, just about. And in speaking with some people over this last week, even this morning, you know, asking people, how was your Christmas? How was your New Year? I've had a number of people that have said, look, it was good, but it's nothing too fancy, nothing too exciting, just quiet at home. And I was like, that's great. That sounds amazing. And that's a good thing because, you know, we live in a day and an age where we have an affinity for the exciting things, don't we? Many love to see and experience and show off the highlights of life. And look, that's not bad to see and experience and show off those things, but you know, even this week with New Year's Eve, I don't know how many of us like watching the fireworks, show of hands, a couple of us. Of course, there's the 9 o'clock ones for the early to bed, and then there's the 12 o'clock ones, the midnight ones for the hardcore seeing the New Year kind of people. But even in those, I personally just like turning on the TV and watching the fireworks when they come on. But in between the fireworks, there's all sorts of other stuff, all sorts of entertainment and singers and performers and all that kind of thing. I'm like, I don't want any of that stuff. I just want the exciting bits. I just want the fireworks. Just show me that little portion and that will be enough for me. With the start of a new year, it can bring a sense of excitement. Yes, it's a new beginning, a new start. It's built up to be kind of this big thing, at least a reset or a new beginning. But this week on New Year's Day with my family, we went just to Manuka Pool. We had a lovely time. It was a hot day. Enjoyed some time together as a family. On the way home, one of my sons, he said to me, Dad, doesn't really feel like a new year. Just feels like another day. And I said, well, that's right. That's because it is just another day. It's built up to be something incredible and amazing. But the reality is it's just a new day. And as we've come to the end of a year and we've started a new one with all its promise, with all the good things and the blessings that we hope and we pray are in store, I've been reflecting on how the vast majority of life, I'm talking 90% plus or more, is the ordinary, mundane, day-to-day nature of life. Not so much the glitz and glamour, not so much the mountaintop highs or the highlight reels, despite what Instagram would lead us to believe. Majority of life is just the ordinary day-to-day living life. And I'm not saying that to be pessimistic or put a dampener on New Year's excitement. I'm just saying that because it's helpful to remember, because it's in the day-to-day, following Jesus faithfully, doing what he's called us to do, being faithful with what he's put in our hands. That's where the growth happens. That's where life happens. And that as we follow Jesus, it plays out in the ordinary, in the day-to-day, and that is good, and that is beautiful, for he is with us. The German theologian, pastor, and ultimately martyr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said this, in ordinary life, notice how he says, ordinary life, that's what we're living right now. In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. It's only with gratitude that life becomes rich. There's something about gratitude that turns the ordinary, everyday, mundane nature of life into something rich and beautiful and meaningful. And so this morning, on this, the first Sunday of 2025, I want to speak into that a little bit, that gratitude and thanksgiving would mark the attitude of our hearts as God's people as we head into 2025. Let's read from Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It says this, on the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. This account has always been a fascinating one for me. And if I'm really honest, whenever I read and reflect on this particular portion of Scripture, it is both baffling and challenging. It leaves me feeling both incredulous at the 9 and inspired by the one who returned. And if nothing else about this passage, and there's plenty for us to see and grab hold of, I believe, but if nothing else this morning, it is a reminder for us of how easy it is to forget to come and give thanks, to forget to be grateful, to forget to live lives that are grateful. And if we look at the passage by way of a little bit of background, the Bible tells us there was a group of these 10 lepers. Now, we don't know any of their backstory. We don't know what their lives were like before they got leprosy. We don't know how long they'd suffered from this horrific disease. But what we do know is that leprosy, certainly in biblical time and culture, was essentially a death sentence for many. We don't really hear much of leprosy as a disease, certainly here in the West, but it was and it still is in many parts of the world a horrific disease. But it was perhaps what it meant for you if you got it, aside from the physical condition itself, that was far worse. You see, if you contracted leprosy, you became an outcast. You were unclean. You were ostracized from society. You were separated and isolated. You were, I guess, living with this sense of shame and embarrassment. You had to, the law said you had to go around and call out, unclean, unclean, whenever there were people around, just so that they would know to keep their distance. That's pretty humiliating, I'm sure you'd agree. One form of leprosy attacked the nerves so that the condition actually numbed your feelings and your senses. This was the state these 10 lepers were in when Jesus came by, needing his mercy, needing a miracle, desperate for something to change. So they cry out to Jesus, and let me just say to us this morning, that is a great place to go to if you're in that kind of desperate situation. If you're in a place this morning needing his mercy, longing for something to change, longing for breakthrough in a particular area of your life, cry out to Jesus. So often we can turn to other things. We can try everything else instead of turning and crying out to Jesus. This is what these lepers did, and they receive his mercy. They receive his miraculous healing as they respond in faith and obedience to his word. Now, 10 out of 10 are healed. That is pretty amazing. 100% cleansed from the leprosy. But just imagine for a moment the impact that this would have had on those 10 men. Imagine the change that this would have brought about for these 10 lepers. All of a sudden, they're no longer isolated and ostracized. They're able to return to their families. They're welcomed back into their communities. They're able to begin to work again. We cannot overstate the significance of what Christ had done for these lepers. But, and here's the thing. Only one came back. Only one came back. There's something wrong with this picture, surely. Imagine for a moment if you had capacity to give a life-changing sum of money, a gift, to 10 of your closest friends. Hopefully I'd be included in that 10, maybe. But imagine you had that capacity to give a gift, a life-changing sum of money, something like that. That would significantly change that 10 friends and families' lives significantly. That would change the whole course of their future. Yes, it's more blessed to give than to receive, but I'm sure that many of us would kind of appreciate a little bit of gratitude. Not just one person coming back to say, thanks very much for that incredible life-changing gift that you have just given me. The other 9 lepers here received their healing. They got what they wanted. They received the blessing and they simply went on with their lives. They didn't give a second thought to Jesus. If you're like me, it's easy to read this passage and be indignant. How could they not come back? How could they not respond with gratitude? And that's good. That's good because this story should actually provoke us, should actually cause us to stop and think about our own hearts and lives and attitudes before the Lord. You know, Jesus' response here would indicate that there's something very important to him about gratitude. It's like he's, what? Where are the others? Weren't 10 cleansed? And it's not so much annoyance that they didn't come back and do the right thing, but I believe sadness at what they missed out on by not coming back to him. So this story should actually provoke something in us, because how often can we also forget to come back and give thanks to the Lord? How often in our lives can we move from a place of gratitude to a place of grumbling? How often can we move from a place of thanksgiving and praise to a place of entitlement, feeling as though God owes us something? There's a song that has come to mind this week. I used to sing in the church I grew up in. And the words, it started like this, that, you know, we say on Sunday how much we want revival, and then on Monday we can't even find our Bible. Where's the power? Where's the power of the cross in our lives? And so often, it can be easy. Here on a Sunday, we sing a great time of worship like the team led us in this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. You're wonderful. And then Monday morning, we're stuck in a queue on the way to work. Or someone rubs us up the wrong way. Whatever it is, and we move from that place of praise you, Lord, thanksgiving, to a place of Are we living like the 9 or like the 1 who came back in the attitude of our hearts and in our response to Jesus? As we begin 2025, there are lessons that we can learn from this one leper. And there is indeed an invitation, a call for us to be a people marked by gratitude. The word gratitude, of course, is derived from the Latin word gratia, which means grace, graciousness, or gratefulness. It is simply turning back to God to thank him for all that he has done. Like a transaction, him giving us grace and mercy and blessing and air to breathe, all those things, and us turning it back to him in praise. So to help frame our year, just a few encouragements for us to hopefully grab hold of as we go from here into 2025. First of all, there is power in gratitude. There is power in gratitude. If we look at it from a scientific perspective, researchers, scientists will tell us, you can read articles, you can read medical journals about this. They tell us that gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Gratitude reduces social comparisons, is a major factor in resilience, can help reduce PTSD symptoms. It lowers blood pressure, helps with sleep, and can boost the immune system. Now, if there was a pill or an elixir available that could do all this, everyone would be on it, right? That's pretty good. So there's something powerful about gratitude that even research and science recognizes as significant. There's something powerful about gratitude that has an impact on our physical bodies and well-being. But let's look at it from a spiritual perspective, from God's perspective. You know, one of the most common phrases in Scripture is, give thanks to the Lord, For he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. If that's repeated time and time again through Scripture, maybe it's something for us to take note of in our hearts and in our lives. It's not because, you know, God kind of needs that, makes him feel good, but because of what it does to us and in us, I believe. In Psalm 50, it's a psalm that speaks of God being the mighty one, how he speaks and summons the earth. And he's kind of speaking through the psalmist, if you like. And this is what it says in verse 7 of Psalm chapter 50. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The final verse of that particular psalm says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. The Lord, speaking through the psalmist, basically saying, look, your sacrifices are before me. You're bringing your goats, your bulls, all those things. That's what the law requires. You're keeping up with that. That's all fine. But your heart isn't in it. It's become routine. You're worshiping the Lord out of habit, not from the heart. So all these other offerings, all the right things have become meaningless and worthless. But in the midst of that, we catch a glimpse of something powerful, something significant, something that resonates with the very heart of God. He says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Or another translation says, make thanksgiving your sacrifice. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. What good is all the other ritual and form of worship if it's not flowing from a heart of gratitude? There's something that stirs and moves the heart of the Lord. It's an offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a heart full of gratitude. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I've shared on it before. And it's this account of King Jehoshaphat, and there's a vast army that's come against God's people. And the king is afraid. He's terrified, but he turns to seek the Lord. And as they pray, as they seek, as they call a fast upon God's people, the prophets speak and kind of give a bit of encouragement. But then the king gives this strategy about what's going to happen in the battle. He says, all right, this is what we're going to do. The singers, the worshipers are going to go out first ahead of the army. So just imagine for a moment those singers, those worshipers. Hang on a minute, we're going out first? We're going about before the weapons, before the shields, before all those things? We're going to go out first? The singers go out before the army. That's the significance of worship, which is probably a sermon for another day. But as they do that, the Lord brings about a great victory. So what's the song that is sung? What are the army-defeating, ambush-setting, enemy-routing words that are used? Perhaps, raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. Perhaps, you know, how great is our God, sing with me. Perhaps it's to God be the glory, great things he has done. Perhaps it's what a beautiful name it is, nothing can stand against. No, 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 it's nothing like that, nothing that fancy. It's just very simple. Give thanks to the Lord. For his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. You can just imagine those singers and worshipers going out singing those words. And at first they're maybe like, oh, I'm not sure how this is going to go. But then maybe they're like, oh, they're kind of looking a bit scared. Let's keep singing. Give thanks to the Lord. They're starting to run away. give thanks to the Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give thanks to you. And you can just imagine what that might have been like. And of course, the Lord brings about a great victory for his people. There is something about gratitude that stirs the heart of God, especially when it's a sacrifice. And there is something about gratitude that can change our hearts and our perspective. It's a powerful weapon in our armory. So let's use it in 2025. There's power in gratitude. There is protection in gratitude. If you've ever driven on perhaps a winding road, perhaps one of those roads that you sometimes find at coastal places or overlooking a cliff or something like that, or even just in the bushland around here, where it's kind of narrow, one lane each way, often they would have a guardrail, right? What's that for? It's for protection. It's for to stop you from going off track, off the road. Guardrails in place. There was an author and poet from the early 20th century by the name of Fred DeWitt Van Amberg, a bit of a mouthful. But he wrote this, that none is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. Like the guardrails on a road, gratitude guards our hearts from idolatry. It keeps us from becoming impoverished in our spirits. It protects us from wrong perspective and entitlement. Pastor and author John Tyson says this, that when we live without gratitude, it brings a staggering lack of perspective. We live in a world we did not create. We function in a body that we did not make. We breathe in air that we didn't supply and are recipients of constant grace. The least we could do is say thanks. He goes on to say that the root of all idolatry is a failure or a refusal to both recognize God as God and be grateful. In Romans chapter 1, we read of, it's a passage basically that looks at the unraveling that happens when humanity goes its own way and pursues the path of unrighteousness. And in verse 21 of Romans 1, it says, although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. They didn't honor or give thanks. There's something about gratitude that will actually guard us against idolatry, of getting off course, of coming to a place of wrong perspective or entitlement. And gratitude not only guards this upward relationship with the Lord, but it guards and protects the horizontal as well, our relationships with one another. So how can we be more intentional about cultivating gratitude, not just unto the Lord, which is of course our priority, but towards those people that God has placed in our lives to guard and protect us from entitlement, wrong perspective, and some of those other things that can throw us off course? There's power in gratitude. There's protection in gratitude. And as we head into this new year, for us, as the redeemed of the Lord, there is the priority of gratitude. And if nothing else, remembering the mercy that Christ has shown to us at the cross. We've been looking at this account of the 10 lepers this morning. And if we think about leprosy, metaphorically, it can be a picture of what our sin is like. Indeed, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, used leprosy as a picture of sin in Isaiah chapter 1. Because leprosy, like sin, is deeper than the skin. It separates us from God. It makes us unclean. It perhaps makes us feel a sense of shame and embarrassment. It makes us numb or dulls our capacity to feel and sense God. But just as Jesus cleansed these lepers, so too he has cleansed us from sin by his mercy, through his death on the cross and through his resurrection from the grave, through his precious blood poured out for each and every one of us and all mankind. And for this alone, we have endless reasons to be grateful, to keep coming back to him. Even though this is what he has done for us, it can be so easy to forget to make gratitude a priority. Like the 9 lepers, it can be easy just to go about our daily lives without much thought or regard for the one who has given and made available to us the greatest gift of all. It's easy. Perhaps you found yourself, caught yourself doing this as well, thinking that he's at our beck and call. And of course, he hears us when we cry to him. But there's the priority of gratitude as we come before him. As we think about the power of gratitude, the protection that gratitude brings, the priority of gratitude, what we are left with from the passage are a couple of lessons from this grateful leper that I want to leave us with this morning. This leper teaches us the right response. He teaches us the right response. And for us, the encouragement this morning is to come to Jesus with gratitude and praise and to keep coming back to Jesus. Not as a ritual, not as religious duty because we have to, but in response to who he is and all that he has done. The preacher Spurgeon, he said this, that all 10 were willing to do a religious ceremony. That is, go to the priest. That, of course, was required under the law of the day. But only one was filled with true praise and thanksgiving. External religious exercises are easy enough and common enough, but the internal matter, the drawing out of the heart in thankful love, how scarce a thing it is. 9 obey ritual where only one praises the Lord. What we can learn from this leper is that he didn't just think about praising the Lord. It wasn't just an intention of his heart. He was actually intentional about coming back and giving thanks and praise to the one who had rescued him. How about us today? I'm preaching to myself here this morning as well. What can we learn from his response? What can we learn about being intentional, about being grateful in this coming year? What are perhaps a practice or some practices that we can build into our lives? We want to be hearers of the word and doers, right? What are some of those things that will help us to live with the right response of gratitude, being intentional about being grateful? I encourage you in this coming week, bring that before the Lord. Reflect on it before him. Perhaps it's, you know, starting your day intentionally with like 5 or 10 things that you can give thanks to the Lord about. Perhaps it's as you come before the Lord in prayer, before you get to the problems and all the things you want God to do for you. Maybe it's being intentional in this season about, Lord, I come with a grateful heart. I thank you. I praise you. And you can list off those things in your lives that you are grateful for. There's a song, we sing it here at church. It's a wonderful song. 10,000 reasons for our hearts to find. Sometimes we've got to find them. Sometimes we may have to look for them a little bit more. But there are endless reasons to be grateful and come before the Lord with thanksgiving. God, make us a grateful people. May we respond like this leper, O Lord, not just content with religious duty, but with a heart that keeps coming back to Jesus with praise and with thanksgiving. The second lesson we can learn from this leper, he teaches us that there is a reward for gratitude. What do I mean by that? Well, he received more than just the physical blessing, the external benefit, if you like. Sometimes we think of gratitude just in terms of the external things, giving thanks for something done or given to us, the blessings, the benefits. And as we start a new year, we pray, Lord, we pray it would be a blessed year. But is a blessed year just receiving all the good things that we might desire, or is there more to it than that? Jack Hayford put it this way. He said, ingratitude did not deny Christ's mercy to the other 9, but it did deprive them of fellowship with him. The grateful leper came back. He responded rightly, and he experienced fellowship with Jesus. He experienced not just the blessing of the physical healing, although, of course, that alone would have given him reason to jump for joy and praise him for the rest of his life. But he experienced the blessing of salvation, the grace and the mercy, the kindness of Jesus. The reward for a heart of gratitude is fellowship with Jesus. May 2025 be marked by fellowship with Jesus. For that to be cultivated, may we walk the path of gratitude. Could I invite maybe Jeanette to come on up? I don't know where you're sitting this morning. Or maybe Brennan and Tony as well. That'd be great. I don't know about you, but I want to learn from this Samaritan leper. I want to follow his example. I want to keep coming back to Jesus continually, intentionally, and joyfully. I want to throw myself down before Jesus with thanksgiving. I want to raise a voice of praise. In Psalm 66, it says, "Let the sound of his praise be heard." I want to enjoy fellowship with Jesus in a deeper way. Not just be content with experiencing the benefits without his very presence. And it is a grateful heart that will attract his very presence. While others may forget or are content to simply enjoy the blessing and move on without returning to give thanks, to give Jesus a second thought, may we as his people desire to be like that grateful leper. So let me ask us this today as we bring our time together to a conclusion. How is your gratitude this morning? Is gratitude the theme of your heart and life? Or is it grumbling or something else? What areas do we perhaps need to take stock and invite him in? May we, as his people, experience the power of gratitude in 2025. May we experience the protection that gratitude will bring. And may we prioritize gratitude this year. In the everyday, mundane, day-to-day nature of life, may it be gratitude that turns the ordinary into something rich and beautiful and life-giving and meaningful. I'll leave you with this, the second part of Colossians 3:15. Just three words to leave us with. And be thankful. And be thankful. Would you stand this morning? I'd love to pray for us. I believe we have a song to finish off our time together, to respond in praise and gratitude and worship before the Lord. We do have a rostered prayer team this morning here ready and willing to pray for you. As we get through the song, I'd invite that prayer team, those who are rostered on today, to come forward and stand either side of the front, because there is an opportunity to receive prayer, as there always is. But what better Sunday than the first Sunday of a new year? To come and receive prayer. We've prayed corporately, a prayer of dedication, committing this year to the Lord. But perhaps you might like to come just before the Lord and have someone stand with you to commit yourself, to commit the year ahead to the Lord. Perhaps this morning you've recognized through the conviction of the Spirit perhaps that gratitude hasn't been the theme of your heart. There's absolutely no condemnation in that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But this morning, there'd be an opportunity for you to come before the Lord. Say, "Lord, I give you that, and I invite you to come by the power of your Spirit to help me be grateful. Help the attitude of my heart, the theme of my life, to be one of gratitude." So there's opportunity for that kind of response as well this morning. Let me pray. We'll worship the Lord together. Father, I want to thank you for this day. Lord, this day that you have made, I want to thank you for your mercies that are new towards us each and every day. Lord God, and I thank you for each and every person here. Lord, for your love for each one of us, for your work in our lives, for your plans and your purposes, Lord God. May there be more and more unfolded in us in the coming year. Lord, would you be at work by your Spirit to help us to be a grateful people. Lord, forgive us where the attitude of our hearts has been marked by grumbling or entitlement or any of those kind of things. Lord, I pray that we, as your people, would be like this one grateful leper who returned. That, Lord, we would come back to you, Jesus. We would keep on coming back to you. We would keep on crying out to you. We would keep on praising you. We would keep on giving you thanks. We would keep on responding with praise, with gratitude in our hearts unto you, O Lord. And I pray that this year, Lord, we would know the power of gratitude in our lives. That, Lord, we would know the protection that comes from gratitude, Lord God. Keep us from idolatry. Keep us from going off course. Keep us from an impoverished spirit. Keep us from entitlement, Lord. And Lord, may we prioritize gratitude this year, I pray. And may we know deeper fellowship with you, Lord Jesus. By the Spirit, we pray in 2025. So I bless each and every person here. Father, with your love deep and abiding. Lord Jesus, with your grace, with your peace. And Holy Spirit, with your counsel, your comfort, your presence with us. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray this morning. Amen.